This is the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast, episode 75.
Late Night Internet Marketing.
This week on the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast, we take a look at another entrepreneur who's making it happen online outside of the internet marketing niche. Brian Kaldenberg's got a great business going, and it's not his first one, and he's going to tell you all about it. All this and more on the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
The Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
You've been working for somebody else, but you want a business to run yourself. You want to know how to start and where to begin. Can you get out your comfort zone, my friend? Yes. When it's late at night, at the end of the day, your dreams burning inside. So keep it up and you will find that you're building your business one night at a time.
And now, broadcasting late at night from a little studio in the big state of Texas, your host, Mark Mason.
Hey, I hope you guys are having an absolutely fantastic day. I'm in Hiji, Japan. Man, it's beautiful. I'm looking out my window, and gosh, it's just a gorgeous day. I'm seaside, or actually bayside, and to the east, I can see the sunrise over the jetties. To the west, I see the mountains. Hiji's a truly beautiful place. And in fact, the Chinese characters that the Japanese people use to represent the city of Hiji, they mean something like beautiful place. So it's really remarkable, really fortunate to be here because of my day job, working on late night internet marketing here in the evening in the hotel room. What I have for you this week is a fantastic interview with Brian Kaldenberg. Now, Brian has several businesses, or has evolved through several online ventures, and he's going to tell you about those today. And the reason I think this is interesting is because most of what we talk about on this show is about making money online with marketing techniques. But one of the interesting things that I think is worth thinking about is, do you have something to offer that's a business apart from internet marketing? You know, it's not affiliate marketing, it's not content creation for the sake of generating ad placements, but a real business that you actually deliver online. Well, Brian's going to tell you about the two that he's been through and sort of his thinking. And I think that might motivate you to think about the kind of services and products that you might be able to deliver online. So that's why I love to bring these kind of stories to you. So without further ado, here's my phone call with Brian.
Hey, don't touch that dial. It's time for another fantastic guest on the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
All right. Very excited. This is so great to catch up with somebody who's going to just blow your mind with the amount of vision and progress this guy's been able to make online. I'm talking about when you think about going big with business, this is one of the guys that a lot of people are talking about these days. Brian Kaldenberg, how are you today, sir?
I'm good, Mark. Excited to be on your podcast and excited to share my story with your audience.
I'm pumped up because, you know, you're different than a lot of people in the following way. A lot of people start online because they want to make money, and from what I understand about your story back when you were in college, you started online, and I'm sure you wanted to make money, but you had a great idea. Can you talk about a little bit and kind of catch my listeners up on that whole thing with game rosters and so forth, and how that got started, and kind of put us back in that dorm room at Iowa State?
Certainly. Yeah, always, ever since I was a young child, wanted to be an entrepreneur. And, you know, started in college, started thinking of ideas to start a business online. I kind of knew some basic web design. and I had some internships at the time that were this was back when Yahoo was the only search engine really letting you advertise for search advertising. I don't even think Google had their platform yet, and I was kind of starting to dabble in that through some internships. But the bottom line is, what I did in college more than anything is play NCAA football. And that's a very popular game among college males, and we would play that against each other. We play online for hours on end, and there was a website out there, and this was back when everyone was playing on PS2 and the original Xbox. There was a website out there called PS2 Rosters. It was started by a guy by the name of DT Linder, and he would actually go in, because the game, when you play NCAA football, EA Sports NCAA football, it doesn't have the players' names. It only had their position and their number. So instead of being, you know, running back Smith, it'd be running back number 22. And the announcers would say running back number 22. The game, when you're playing, it would say running back number 22. Well, the game allowed you to actually put in the players' names. And so if you put in the players' names and save that file, then when you're playing, it would show that player's name, and the announcers would even say the name. So there's this guy who owned PS2Rosters.com, and he would actually go through and put in the players' names for every single team. Back then, it was like 119 teams. And we would download this file through a special tool you had to have, and then we'd play with the real names, and it just made the game way better. And I contacted that website owner because he wasn't charging for his file. He was basically letting people download it for free and on donation basis. I tried to talk him into starting a business or partnering with me, and he declined. And so it was March of 2004 when I registered the domain name gamerosters.com, and really just because I knew how much more exciting it made playing the game. Back then, not many people knew this little add-on, this niche little product existed, and just blew up. The game rosters just blew up. We through search advertising and search engine optimization, and then one thing we did is we really did a good job of email marketing our customers year in and year out, and offering pre-sales. And eventually I bought that guy's business, PS2 Rosters. I bought all his websites out, and kind of grew to the industry leader over the next 4 to 7 years. Maxed out at a little over $200,000 a year in sales 1 year, and kind of had a little monopoly too. We're pretty much the only person out there doing it. And so that's kind of that business in a gist. I was 22 when I started it. And made enough money to where right out of college, I've never worked for anybody. I've always been self-employed. And Game Rosters was a big part of me being able to do that, you know, in my early days out of college.
So, you know, what I would say about that is when people hear these stories, I think a lot of times they say, well, yeah, you were successful because you had a good idea. And people... you know, they'll say, I don't have a good idea like that. I don't have that aha moment. But you did it again, right? You're kind of you've turned yourself into a serial entrepreneur. Now your big thing is Proofreading Pals. So tell us about how Proofreading Pals came into being. And then let's talk about this thing about where do these great ideas come from. But first tell me about your latest project, Proofreading Pals.
Well, first of all, neither of these businesses were my original idea. And I think that might be a misconception that you have to come up with a really good idea. All of my the proofreading industry, and there was already websites doing proofreading too. But what I've done is I find just ways to differentiate enough to be able to steal market share. In the Game Rosters example, we were able to basically steal the whole market. But with Proofreading Pal, we're an online proofreading and editing service. and we employ now, we have a staff of employees in our office, and then we also have a network of over 55 contract proofreaders who work from home. And basically, the idea, my wife originally kind of got the idea into my head, is back in 2007. We were living in St. Louis at the time, and that's when I kind of saw that game rosters had plateaued. It still was doing very well, but it's very seasonal. It's only busy for about 2-3 months out of the year, and I knew it wasn't going to grow much further. If anything, start to decline with file sharing online and all that stuff. And so my wife was getting her master's degree at the time, and she was just wrapping up her thesis, and she wanted to have her thesis proofread. And so we went online through a service called Odesk, and that's where I had hired some web developers from overseas to do some web developing for me. And we found a proofreader down in Tennessee. He was a professor who proofread on the side. He proofread her thesis for, I think, $150. And then, boom, that was the idea. I was looking for an idea that played into my skill sets, which was something that could be sold online, marketed online, and made sense to be sold online. And it was very highly scalable. It could be sold to the whole country, to the whole world. And proofreading was, boom, I was like, proofreading. People can outsource that over the internet now. The technology is there. And started to do some research. And again, I didn't come up with the idea myself, but I got in on an industry that was still pretty young. And I still think these sorts of services over the internet are still young, but found some other companies who were doing it already and did some research and they basically proved to me that the market was there. There is one company, we're not the biggest, we're probably not even in the top five right now of biggest proofreading companies, but there is a proofreading company, and probably back then that was doing over $5 million a year in sales. And so all I needed was to find ways to do it different or better or differentiate. And so that's kind of how the idea was born. But I hired a consultant in the early going who kind of helped me differentiate even more. And really, it's from that point on, it's been a lot of hard work. And that's how we've kind of we've etched our name in that industry. And we've still got a long ways to go. We're making progress. We're building a loyal customer base, and we really have a unique offering that not many other, both freelancers that work from home all by themselves or proofreading companies, can compete with.
Yeah. So I have so many questions around this, but before I get to that, I want to hit this point, because not everybody who's listening to this, in fact, most people who are listening to this, do not have a degree in marketing like you do. So I want to go back to something you said. You looked at this market, you saw competition, and rather than seeing that as a threat, you saw that as validation of the market. Can you talk about that just a little bit more? Because one of the things I hear beginning entrepreneurs say all the time is, oh, I can't do that, it's already been done.
Yeah. Basically, I like something that's already been proven, that people are willing to purchase the product over the internet, and that it's a big enough industry to support companies that have employees and, you know, are making a profit. And so I knew that there was competition. I wasn't scared of that at all, and in some regards, it actually comforted me. But then if you're going to try to get into that industry, you can't just come in and – I mean, there's a lot of different ways you can try to get into an industry. We've had competition with the game rosters industry too, where people try to come in and compete with us, and there's a lot of different ways you can go in. One thing I don't really want to do is compete on price. I mean, that's one of the ways you can try to go in. It's also a way you can die pretty quickly.
Right.
That's one point, though. Price is a point of differentiation. But we looked at other things like, how available is their customer service? We looked at other things like, we just kind of I got a feel for the industry. And my consultant that I hired, who was a veteran proofreader who worked for an already established company, she kind of let me in on some of the secrets. But another big one was a lot of these companies only use one proofreader. She recommended that you really use two proofreaders, because it's a higher, if it's a higher quality product, then, you know, the chance with two sets of eyes is going to, you know, catch more errors than just one. But also it's a way for you to kind of be able to hire new proofreaders and grow quickly without being worried, so worried if they can proofread or not, because you'll always have a more experienced proofreader as the second proofreader. And so that two proofreader model was another way to really differentiate it, not only on the quality side as far as the customer perceives us, but also internally ability to sort through proofreaders and determine which proofreaders are talented and maybe which proofreaders who aren't. And then turnaround speed was another point.
Yeah, I noticed you have your pricing tiers based. You can get turnarounds of 3 hours, I think, as you offer, all the way to 48 hours, and the price depends on that, as I recall.
Yeah, we offer, if you click actually and go into step one of checkout, it'll even show you all of our turnaround speeds. We actually even now have 90-minute. and then we go all the way out to 7-day. Now, those turnaround speeds have word count stipulations. You know, 90-minute will only accept up to 800 words.
Right.
But most of the competitors, and even right now, it's very rare for many of our competitors to offer faster than 10-hour. And a lot of our competitors still don't offer anything faster than 24-hour. Right. So that's another way we differentiated. And then we offer these 24/7. Now, we're almost 4 years old. When we first launched, we weren't able to deliver. We didn't have the 3-hour and the 6-hour out of the gates, nor were we able to deliver those 24/7. But we're trying to build and become even further differentiated from our competitors. And that's my whole goal.
Yeah. And so I'm thinking, you know, I talk to my listeners a lot of time about understanding, building an avatar for their ideal customer. And I'm imagining one of your customer avatars is a college student publishing under a deadline where turnaround time is absolutely critical, and they're willing to pay for that differentiated service of fast turnaround time. And so this opens up a part of the market to you, I guess, that your customers can't even access because the paper's due tomorrow.
Yep, the procrastinators will pay.
Yeah. Right. Interesting. The procrastinators will pay. Excellent. There's a sound bite for this interview right there. The procrastinators will pay. Well, that's amazing. So you continue to grow this, and it sounds like, you know, you have people potentially all over the world doing this proofreading, or are they mostly U.S. based?
Well, another point of differentiation we really try to stress is all of our proofreaders are native English speaking. So we're not outsourcing any proofreading to people overseas just because they'll do it for $3 an hour.
Right.
But yes, we, you know, with offering these fast turnarounds 24/7, it does require us to find people who are in different time zones. And, you know, Pacific and Eastern, that's a 3-hour difference. We need bigger differences than that. So we have most of our proofreaders are here in the U.S. working from home, but we do have about 6 or 7 that are overseas, and they really help us with our weak spots in the middle of the night, and we've just had to find them. It's harder to find those overseas people because they have to be native English speaking.
So let me ask you a little bit different question. You know, you said it's a lot of hard work. I think one of the things I'm constantly amused by are people who are looking to make money on the internet in online business and think for some reason, because of the relatively low barrier to entry, I think, that it's just going to be really easy. Can you talk a little bit about the importance of hard work and how that's leveraged in your business? And and how do you stay motivated to work hard? What makes you go? Why do you get up in the morning to do this proofreading stuff every day?
Well, for one, Proofreading Power started kind of out of necessity, knowing that my main source of income, game rosters, you know, might not be there forever or might start to slowly decline. And so I didn't, number one, I didn't have that, you know, that comfort zone of, you know, a guaranteed income. I also got an investor for Proofreading Pal to kind of help me get to those, grow it fast enough so we could get to those points of differentiation really quick. And so that was motivation too. You know, you don't want to let your investor down. So those two things kind of motivated me. Also, the motivation to make money, and that's a motivating factor. And then just, I guess it's just my style to really religiously focus on customer satisfaction, because I think that if you, you know, every satisfied customer is worth so much more money than just how much they're going to come back and do business with you in the future. It's who they're speaking to and what words are coming out of their mouths when they speak about your business. And so when we first launched 4 years ago, or a little less than 4 years ago, we had a limited amount of funds, and it was just me out of the gates. And I didn't have any choice but to work really hard, because it was just crazy. We were trying to – we were advertising that we were – we had live customer service every day from 8 a.m. until 10 p.m. And even though we were just launching, that advertisement – or saying that on our website already made us different than half of our competitors, because they weren't open nights and weekends. But what the toll it took on me personally is, you know, I couldn't go on vacations. I couldn't, you know, I was tied to my cell phone and tied to being able to either remote access into my office computer or be at my office. And that's what my life was like for the first 2 years of Proofreading Pal. It was 90 to 100 hour work weeks. Growing and building the business, just totally immersed in the business, and that's what it basically took to get to where we are today.
Now, I'm curious about one thing. I'm imagining that some huge percentage of your customer base is college students, and you had mentioned that you've developed a loyal customer following. But I imagine one of the challenges you face is that your customers refresh every 4 years as they matriculate to college and then graduate. And I'm wondering, is that a problem because you lose that customer, or is it an opportunity because there's always fresh people who are required to go through English 101 in the pipeline?
It's both. It's somewhat of a problem because we do have that drop off where that person might not need to come back to us ever again. We do resumes and cover letters, so they could need that service. And what I'm hoping is a college student. And you are right, college students are our number one customer. It's actually graduate level students are the number one customer, I think, because they might have more money and they even have less time. Yeah. And it's more, you know, it's slightly more competitive and more important, you know, their master's or their PhD. But we hope that they, you know, we certainly still want them to tell their, you know, their colleagues about us, and tell other students. And then we hope that, you know, they go into the business world or academia and they, you know, they remember Proofreading Pal. And we have things that we do to try to kind of light that fire in them every now and then. So we do get word of mouth marketing, but we just hope that they'll talk about us even if they go work for a big company. Maybe we someday get business from that company. And fortunately, they're our largest segment, but they're not so large that, you know, when they graduate after 4 years, it's a huge hit on us because like you mentioned, there's always a fresh batch coming in the next year.
So let's talk about advertising a little bit. So organic search, pay-per-click, offline advertising. I mean, do you go to Iowa State and stick up those 8.5 by 11 sheets with the little tear-off things? I mean, you probably remember those from college. What? How are you getting people to the site?
I am first and foremost, our number one advertising medium is Google search advertising. And so people are searching for proofreading services on Google, and our ad shows up. And then number two would be Yahoo and Bing search advertising. So search advertising is very important to our business, and also search engine optimization. And, you know, we actually were higher last year and even higher a year and a half ago in the natural Google results than we are now, which is something we're focusing on getting back. Because that's very valuable. Search advertising and our search rankings are very valuable because that's someone searching for our product and service. We also do Facebook advertising, and what we've been doing lately is we target people who like our competitors on Facebook. And we've been able – that's been semi-successful. And then we do some remarketing. So if you come to our website – and you maybe start a checkout process and don't finish your checkout, then you'll go into our Google remarketing group. And then when you go around other sites on the internet, our ads will follow you around because you showed enough commercial intent that we'll be willing to spend some advertising dollars on you to try to get you to come back and order. We haven't really done much grassroots, you know, local campus stuff. Really none at all. One time we paid to be in one of those little coupon books that they hand out, and we didn't get any business from that. I think there's an opportunity there still, but it's really not my strengths is that type of marketing, so we haven't really done it yet. And then we do some, you know, a lot of our other stuff is to try to facilitate, you know, a better relationship with our existing customers. So if you're a new customer with us or you spend over $75, we actually mail you a little gift package in the mail. I call it moving in with your customer. And right. It's just like two branded pens and a branded notepad. And then anytime you're a new customer, we call you, a courtesy call, to follow up, make sure you got your order, make sure you're satisfied, and just re-stress that our core points of differentiation. We want you to make sure that you understood that two proofreaders actually proofread your document. We want you to understand that we're available every day from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. And we want you to understand that we accept and proofread documents 24/7. And then we ask those customers, you know, at the end, if they have any comments or suggestions for us or how they find out about us. And so we've learned a lot from that process, just what our customers want. And then we implement, you know, if we get the same response several times, we, you know, that's a good sign that there's a lot of other customers out there who probably would like that same thing. And so we'll work to implement that feature into our website or into our service.
You know, the marketing strategy that occurs to me for this business is somehow recruiting these on-campus students as affiliates and having them drive traffic back to your site and somehow incentivizing them to send their friends to your business. Have you explored that at all?
Yeah, there's actually a Greek newspaper. It's in all of the University of Iowa. We're in Iowa City now. And it's in all the University of Iowa fraternities and sororities. And the newspaper's free. It just gets dropped off at the sororities and fraternities once a week. And the way they're making their money is they have a local person here in Iowa City who goes around and sells ads. And they've got a network. They're like at like 50 different campuses now. And they're the model that we would try to mimic.
Interesting.
But we don't – like it's just – it's an idea we have. But it is a good idea. We just haven't really implemented it yet. And they'd have to – I mean they'd have to get – a lot of people to make some money. The college, the affiliate rep would have to.
So let's clear something up here. You're an Iowa State guy, but you're who went to school in Ames, but you're
whoa.
Not true.
I did go to Iowa State, but I've never ever been a Cyclone fan.
Really? How is that even? Oh, wow. That's a whole separate podcast episode. You hate the Cyclones.
Yeah, I'm a big Hawkeye fan. Iowa Hawkeye fan.
Is that because you grew up with the Hawkeyes and you went to state for whatever reason and then got back to the Hawkeyes as fast as you could?
Yep. Born and raised Hawkeye fan.
Well, you must be hurting right now because the Hawkeyes are ranked 5 or 6 notches below state right now, right?
Yeah, we're 24th. I saw the poll came out a couple hours ago. Yeah, we haven't played our best basketball yet, though. We still got the tournament coming up.
I agree, and you're well inside the bubble for the tournament, so you should be great. I got a question for you about your degree from Iowa State. Scale of 1 to 10, how much help has your marketing education been in running your online business or businesses?
Okay. You know what? Actually, I'd like to break it up. Scale of 1 to 10, me going to college and just all the courses that I took and how much that's helped me, I would say 3.
All right.
Now, scale of 1 to 10 with just focusing on my marketing degree and my marketing classes. And the other big value I see with that is it got me those internships.
Yeah. I noticed that you were talking about that. Sure.
And so I would say that, 7.
Okay. Good. Good to hear. Well, Brian, I really appreciate your time here. One last question for you, sir. Once upon a time, you were a guy without a website, without an online business, and you started. And there are certainly people who are listening to this podcast who are in that same situation. They've got an idea or they don't, but they have this, either they have this entrepreneurial itch or they've decided this is the way they want to move forward financially. What's your piece of advice for these people who are where you were, what was it, 6 or 7 years ago now, or maybe 4 or 5 years ago now? How long has it been?
9 or 10 years ago.
9 or 10 years ago. That's right. 4 or 5 years with Proofreading Pals and then right. So Game Roster was almost 10 years ago now. If you were, what would you tell the 10 years ago you about moving forward online?
Okay, well, I think Rome was not built in a day, and
truly.
So you've just got to start, and like both Game Rosters and Proofreading Pal, even if I just look back 1 year, they're so much different than they were a year ago, but you just got to jump in and just work at it every day and focus on customer satisfaction. And then focus on what your customer would like to see next time or what they would recommend next time. And if you focus on those two things, you're always going to have a satisfied customer who will either tell others to come to you or come back and do business with you themselves. Secondly, they're going to give you the secrets to how to make your product better. And it's not going to happen overnight. Some people, I guess the people who make $1 million in 1 year or 2 years, that's the same odds as almost winning the lottery.
Right.
It's you just got to work at it. And in a couple years, maybe not even that long, maybe like 1.5 years, 2 years, you should start seeing the fruits of your labor. And then you just keep at it. And if you do that, pretty soon you're going to have a successful business and a loyal following. But don't wait until all the lights are green before you go. You've just got to start and adapt as you go.
That is awesome advice, sir. I really do appreciate it. And, you know, I hope you, hope you're able to put down the cyclones when the time comes.
I hope so too.
Thank you very much for your time today. I really, really appreciate it. And we wish you all the best with Proofreading Pals and all the work that you do in the future.
Well, thank you, Mark, for having me. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Thanks. Take care.
Okay. So that was totally awesome, Brian. Thank you so much. I hope that motivates you. I'm interested not just in teaching you about internet marketing, but getting your mind churning about what's possible. You know, on the internet, because you can aggregate people from all across the world in one place, essentially, which is your website, you don't need that many customers in any particular local area to make a business viable. And, you know, Brian shows you that. He's got a service that he offers that if he were on a college campus, he'd only be able to access at most tens of thousands of potential customers. But with his business online, he's able to scale that instantly by orders of magnitude, essentially accessing all of the people in the world that need that kind of service instantly, or at least having the potential to access them. So think about that next time you're pondering what you might want to do online. And I think Brian is a great example for all of us. I'm headed back on an airplane back to Dallas. I'm flying out of Oita Airport here in a little bit, through Narita, which is the airport just outside of Tokyo, through San Diego, which is dangerously close to Pat Flynn, and then back to Dallas. So I hope you guys are having a fantastic day, and I hope to talk to you again soon.
You can do it right when it's late at night.
You've been listening to the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
Be sure to visit latenightpodcast.com today to leave feedback for Mark. Download special bonus content, access the show notes, and more. See you there.
Until then,
go and make some great progress on your internet business. One night at a time.
One night at a time.
So you're a Texas A&M fan.
I am an Aggie. Yes, I graduated from A&M in 1990, back when the Aggies were just dominating the Southwest Conference at the time. I guess I can't remember when we switched to the Big 12, but yeah. So I follow the Aggies, not basketball so much these days, but. Basketball.
You live in Texas?
Hard to take. Yeah, I live in Dallas. I grew up in Houston and went to school in College Station, which is about halfway between Houston and Dallas. And then I moved to Dallas after college, and I've been here ever since.
So you happy with the SEC? Are you happy you guys are in the SEC?
Well, totally. I mean, from a program standpoint, it has meant, especially because of the confluence of the move to the SEC and the arrival of Johnny Football, talk about winning the lottery. I mean, it's meant millions, tens of millions, maybe in the long run, hundreds of millions of dollars to the university and the athletic program. So, and that's important. I mean, money is what makes all this stuff go. So that's good. I also like, you know, I'm concerned for the future of the Big 12 in the future where there are four super conferences, which is where I think we're headed. I don't really know what happens to the Big 12. I mean, certainly Texas has a spot and OU has a spot, and we didn't want to be the third team in that. So we got out while the getting was good, because clearly the SEC will figure heavily in whatever the NCAA does going forward.
Hey, it's Mark again. I wanted to tell you one more time about this absolutely free resource that I have for helping people who are trying to get the big picture for internet marketing, actually get started and understand what all their choices are. If that's not you, there's no more content. You can skip to the end. But if you're someone who came to this podcast because you're searching for how to get started online and you just can't cut through all the noise, I get it. That was me in 2007 when I was trying to get started. There were so many people throwing offers at me that I really couldn't even understand what all the different business models were. I couldn't understand how money moved around on the internet. And I couldn't really get a grip on what direction I wanted to go in so I could figure out how to move forward. I've created a free video resource for you just for that purpose at latenightim.com/explain. In several short videos, I just explain to you what internet marketing is all about and what online business is all about and the different options that you have for starting an online business. There's nothing to buy there. You just sign up for access and you get the videos just like that. So if that's interesting to you, or if you know someone who's in a same situation, send them that link, latenightim.com/explain. And let me know what you think. I'd love to hear what people are thinking that are in the exact same position that I was in more than a decade ago in 2007. In some ways, it seems like yesterday. And in some ways, it seems like an entire lifetime ago. Again, that's latenightim.com/explain.
Late night internet marketing.